I'd like to thank the praise team for just being faithful. We're singing faithfulness. That's what the Lord desires, right? And thank you for being faithful, for helping us come into the Lord's presence through music. Thanks again for Dean making the trip here to help us out and to praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are a blessed people because we can call you Father. And we're your sons and we're your daughters. And you love us dearly, so much so that you sent your only Son to pay the ultimate price on the cross and to rise victorious for us. It was all for us. So we could talk to you and have a relationship with you. What an amazing God we serve. Thank you. We pray this morning that your Spirit would be moving among us, speaking to our hearts the things we need to hear as we read your word and as it's explained, that you would bless this time together. Let Jesus receive all the glory. We pray in his name. Amen. So we're hungry for more of the Lord was the closing song. My title for the message is There's More. How's that, huh? We didn't talk either. You know, before New Beginnings started, Luann and I were worshiping at Chickie's Church. And things were good. And but over time, God put something in me that I couldn't understand. I call it a holy dissatisfaction. You think, that doesn't sound right, but that's all I can describe it as. I sensed there was something missing, that there was more. And in time, others in the church could sense that in me too. And one day, the moderator, who was Becker Ginder, who's now home with the Lord, I had a close relationship with him, and we would talk different times. I'd go over and we'd just talk. And he said to me pointedly one day, he says, Mike, what's going on? I said, you don't seem yourself. I said, you know, I'm not sure, Becker. I said, I can't put my finger on it. I said, I guess, I just think there's more. He says, more what? I said, more of God, more of Jesus. And then I blurted out, more signs and wonders. And he's looking at me. And it wasn't long before God started showing me the more that he had put on my heart, even though I didn't really even know what I was looking for. Also at that time, I was teaching a course at Hemfield High School. I was the art teacher there. And there was a small group of kids that would meet in my art room Wednesday mornings before school for a Bible study every Wednesday. And it was led by a young woman from Dove Christian Fellowship named Sarah. But her work schedule had changed, and she could no longer lead this group. So she said to me, well, you lead it. I said, you want me to lead this group? Yeah. Okay. She said, leaders like myself, she said, meet at this man's basement once a month to get encouragement and get notes if you have a guide to help lead you and has questions and things that would be helpful. And his name's Larry, I said. And there'll be other leaders there from other schools that have Bible studies too. I said, okay. So I took the step of faith, not knowing anybody, not knowing who Larry was. I go to this man's house and go down to his basement with all these other leaders. And I found out that Larry was Larry Kreider, founder of Dove Christian Fellowship. I didn't know Larry from anybody. So everybody was very kind and very welcoming to me and you know, just they were, I could tell they were the godly people. And so Larry said, well, it's time to get started. Let's pray. I said, great. And that quickly, all around the room, everybody's speaking in tongues. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'd never heard that, ever. I must have been like a deer in the headlights. And some of the others realized it, and they're like, it's okay if you don't pray in tongues. It's all good. And so, wow. That was a start for the more. It was just the tip of the iceberg of what the Lord was going to show and reveal to me. And now looking back, I wouldn't want to go back to the way it was. So my question this morning is, if there's more of the Christian life than you're experiencing now, would you want to know about it? And would you want to experience it? I truly believe one of the reasons that God has planted New Beginnings is because he wants his church to walk in the more. And the old wineskin of Chickies, although a good church and a solid church, couldn't hold the new wine that the Lord wanted to pour out in the old wineskin. It wouldn't have worked. And so he needed a new wineskin to hold what was going to happen and that he wanted to bring. And so New Beginnings was birthed. So we're looking this morning at 1 Corinthians 12. We've been going through the book of Corinthians, and we're in the 12th chapter now. And it's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is a part of the more of God. These are supernatural gifts. And they are just that, both supernatural, meaning we can't do them apart from the Holy Spirit. Without his help, they're not going to happen. And the second thing is, they are a gift, which means they can't be earned. They're not a sign of someone's superiority spiritually or their spiritual maturity. It's not any of that. In fact, the whole reason Paul's bringing up these gifts is that the Corinthian Christians needed guidelines how to use these gifts properly because they were immature Christians using them in ways they shouldn't have been used. They were misusing the gifts. But Paul never says, stop it, you guys. Never says that. He just teaches them how they're supposed to be used and what their use is for, their proper use. So, as with any gift, for it to be ours, we need to receive it. We need to say thank you and receive it, right? And we don't get to choose what that gift is. Maybe some of you do that for Christmas, manipulate people, I don't know. But we don't get to choose the gift. In fact, in verse 11, it says that the Spirit distributes them as he wills. It's what the Holy Spirit wants done is what how it happens. And verse 7 says, for the profit of all, for everybody, to be a blessing to each person. So just know as we look into these scriptures that the Spirit, Jesus, and the Father all greatly desire for us to function in these gifts. Why? To be a blessing to other people. To show God's love to other people. Both in the church and those that don't know the Lord yet. And it will show and it'll be a witness to the truth of the gospel. And it'll bring honor and it'll bring glory to Jesus when we walk in them. That's the point. It's not about us. It's about loving on others and bringing glory to Jesus. But unfortunately, sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit and we're not tuned into his still small voice. And we become busy with life. And when he's trying to communicate with us, we brush him aside in his promptings and we ignore this wonderful third person of the Trinity. And many of us continue to remain uninformed about the Holy Spirit's amazing gifts. And that's the first verse where we're going to be reading here. They're not even on our radar, these gifts. Tell me if I'm wrong. So Paul wants us, and the Lord wants us to understand them, to know that they're for us, and that he wants to work through us, partner through us, to bless other people. So let's take a look at these verses. Who wants to read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11? Who's going to read that for us? Okay.
1 Corinthians 12,
1 to 11. He has a microphone for you, Glenn.
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry about that. And now, brothers, I want to write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of you, for I don't want any misunderstandings about them. You will remember that before you became a Christian, before you became Christians, you went around from one idol to another, not one of which could speak a single word. Verse 3. But now you are meeting people who claim to speak messages from the Spirit of God. How can you know whether they are really inspired by God or whether they are fakes? Here is the test. No one speaking by the power of the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, and really mean it, unless the Holy Spirit is helping him. Now God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service to God, but it is the same Lord we are serving. Verse 6. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are his. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us by the means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Someone else can be especially good at studying and teaching. And that is his gift from the same Spirit. He gives special faith to another, and to someone else the power to heal the sick. He gives power for doing miracles to some, and to others power to prophesy and preach. He gives someone else the power to know whether evil spirits are speaking through those who claim to be giving God's message, or whether it is really the Spirit of God who is speaking. Still another person is able to speak in languages he never learned, and others who do not know the language either are given power to understand what is saying. It is the same and only Holy Spirit who gives us these gifts and powers, deciding with each one of us should have.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. So Paul starts out here in first verse saying, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed about them. And then in verse chapter 14, verse 1, he says, pursue love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. You hear that? Paul wants us to be informed about these gifts, and he wants us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. That doesn't mean put up with them. That doesn't mean being open to them. I'm open to them. No, that's different. We're talking about earnestly desiring, being passionate about them, hungering for these gifts. I'm hungering for more of you is what we sang, right? Are you hungering for these gifts to be manifested through you, to be a blessing to other people? I think, I'm not trying to point fingers or anything, but offense, in a real sense, is actually sinful if we ignore them. Because he tells us to earnestly desire them. To just ignore them or hold them at arm's length because some of them seem a little strange, or to be passive about them, that, I believe, is not God's will. Just telling you, that's what the word says. Earnestly desire these gifts. So, these gifts are supernatural tools of ministry. That's how you got to look at them. Like Chuck, when he goes to work, he has a tool belt and has all these different tools, right? Man, how would you be on the job if you didn't have all those tools, Chuck? You'd be at a wit's end, right? Sometimes wouldn't know how to do something. Well, God has given us all these tools, and they're available to us if we allow them to work through us. Tools for ministry, supernatural tools, power tools. Sometimes we have a handsaw, you can work yourself pretty hard. But man, when you have a power tool, whew, makes the work easier. That's what God wants for you and me. New beginnings, our vision, continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Think about the ministry of Jesus Christ. We can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need these gifts operating through us, folks. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 to 18, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. This is Jesus' words. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues or languages. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. He says, they will. That's what he wants. We can't do those things unless we have these gifts working through us. And then in John 14, 12, Jesus says this, verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and even greater things, because I'm going to the Father. I mean, think about what Jesus did. And Jesus is saying, we're going to do the same things, and not just the same things, but even greater things. I think, wow, if we just do the same things, it's amazing. These are Jesus' words. So, again, new beginnings. Continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to be doing those same things that Jesus did when he walked this earth. Crazy. Impossible without the Holy Spirit's help. John 20, 21, Jesus tells them, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Then Paul reminds us in Romans 8, 11, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Meaning, the very same power that brought Jesus from death to life and got him out of that grave is living in us. He's resident in each of us. That same power. We kind of miss that oftentimes, right? We think, well, how can we do any of this stuff? It's because of him. It's not us. Of course not. So as we look at these supernatural gifts, keep these things in mind. It's interesting, in verse 2, Paul compares and contrasts these gifts of the Spirit with idols. He calls them dumb idols, and some dumb meaning mute. They can't talk. Idols can't talk. They can't do anything. They're just idols. But a lot of these gifts of the Spirit are actually speaking gifts, where the Spirit gives you words to speak to others. So, verse 4, Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. What Paul's describing here are three different kinds of gifts given by the Trinity. The first of these are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's what we're talking about here in this chapter, are these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Next, it says diversity of ministries, but the same Lord. We're talking about these are gifts Jesus gives. They're described in Ephesians 4:11. It's the fivefold gifts of ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Jesus is the one that gives these gifts to certain individuals to be a blessing to the church. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Brandon Hanks is an apostle. He pastors pastors. He helps churches. That's what he's doing with us. That's his gift. Tim Deering, same gift. And then it talks about diversity of activities, but the same Father. It's gifts given by the Father. These would be the motivational gifts. And each person is given one of these when you're born, but they come under his lordship once we receive Christ. Prophecy, then prophesy. Faith, another is serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, and mercy. Those are the motivational gifts. And he brings those out in this one verse. So this morning we're looking specifically at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 7 it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We don't use the word manifestation too often, do we? It means these gifts are an outward, visible expression of the invisible Holy Spirit. When they are manifesting, these gifts are coming through us, people will know that this is an outward, visible expression of an invisible Holy Spirit to be a blessing to whoever receives it. And the Spirit shows himself through these gifts, not just with believers, but especially with unbelievers, because they'll be convinced there is a God and he does know me. So, the first of these gifts is the word of wisdom. This is not intellectual smarts. It is spiritual wisdom, wisdom given by the Holy Spirit to a particular situation or problem that comes up. The Spirit will give you something that is above what you could ever thought of to minister to someone, a divine solution or direction for a challenging situation. I didn't tell Scott I'm going to ask him to share this, but he had one of these come up when he was in Germany. Just quickly share what happened.
It's not something you don't know sometimes. It's what the Holy Spirit needs to give it to you. Right. We were with friends who, their employee committed suicide, and the girl that we know is very distraught. She's very evangelistic and had talked to him about Jesus numerous times. And didn't know if he had accepted the Lord or not, and his wife was not a believer as well. And I was praying, Lord, what can I tell her? I really, and I think this is, just thought of this as you were speaking, Mike, really my love for her and concern for her is what prompted, I think, a word of wisdom. And the Lord gave me the scripture of, well, I told her Jesus had 12 disciples, and they were with him 3 years, and yet one of them denied him and didn't follow him. I said, it's not, you can't save someone. They have to be willing to accept the Holy Spirit. And that was, she said later that really was special. It wasn't for me. It was that God gave me that, and I want to come up with that on my own.
Oh. See, it's love working through Scott brought this gift out to help her, to encourage her. You know, in Luke 20:20-26, Jesus was trying to be trapped by the Pharisees, and they came up to him talking about paying taxes. They asked him, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? They were trying to trick Jesus. If he said yes, he'd be betraying his countrymen for supporting this Roman oppression. If he said no, he'd be committing treason against Rome. So it's like a catch-22. They thought, we got him now, right? But Jesus was given, through the Holy Spirit, a response of wisdom. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. The Spirit will give you things. Another example of this in the scriptures is when the early church was facing a crisis over whether Gentiles, converts, should follow Jewish traditions to be considered saved. And they were meeting, all the apostles and elders gathered in Jerusalem. There's much debate. And then James stood up and delivered a concise, Spirit-inspired word of wisdom that settled everything. In Acts 15, 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden upon these than necessary. And so he's saying, no, they don't. He was given wisdom. The next gift is a word of knowledge. This is a gift when the Holy Spirit gives you information about someone or about something that you wouldn't otherwise naturally know. This divine revelation could be about the person's past, could be about things going on currently, their circumstances, or secrets that they haven't told anybody. This, when it's used, opens the door for ministry, because they would know. There's no way you would know that without divine help. It builds faith, and it confirms the truth of the gospel when people walk in this gift. Remember Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well? John 4, 16 to 18. He perceived that the woman had been married five times and the person she was currently living with was not her husband. And he said that, and she knew there's no way he could have known that except through God, right? This opened the door for her salvation and the salvation of the whole town then. You know, one day, a young man contacted me and wanted to talk to me. And when he came into my home, this word came into my mind immediately: pornography. I perceived that was from the Holy Spirit. And I told him that the Lord had revealed to me why he came, which opened the door for ministry and for his deliverance. Words of knowledge come in a variety of ways. One unusual way that I've seen happen was I was attending a revival service at Dove Christian Fellowship, and there were several people that were there in the audience at this worship service that got a pain that was not their own. This was new to me, but I was learning. I'm still learning. They got a pain in a certain part of their body they knew was not theirs, but it was there. And the man leading the service said, I know right now the Lord has given some of you a pain that's not your own, and there's people here that have that pain that is a real pain. I want you to go with them, and I want you to go in the back, and we're going to pray for their healing. And that's what they did. They matched up, and they went back, and I think like 8 of the 10 were healed right there. I'm like, wow, that's awesome, right? What a blessing. Word of knowledge. Dale, when you were ministering in Pittsburgh, you're out there on the streets with these men. All of a sudden, you started knowing things about them that you should not have known in the natural, right? Yep. Tell them.
I walked up to them, and the Lord put on my heart to pray for the one for suicide thoughts, for depression, for anxiety for the next one. And he's like, how'd you know that? I said, I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit guided me to you. And I just started praying over him, and he just started weeping and crying. The other one came up to me, gave me a hug, and he said, thank you, brother. I said, hey, I don't know you guys, but I do love you. You're God's child. You should treat everybody like that. And for me, that opened my eyes, because just in my family, treating my stepsons the way God would want to be treated them. And
okay.
It's just amazing what the Lord does for us. Like, he gives you
time, he can just give you something. And
be ready. Be ready. Isn't that cool? That's what he wants to do through all of us. Again, we can't choose and pick when. We just need to be ready. And that opened the doors. They knew that you didn't know that, but they knew it was true. Yeah. And they knew that was the Lord. I mean, that's just like, bing, bing, bells went off. Hey, this is God. This is real. He's real. He knows me. Wow. Next is a gift of faith. This is supernatural endowment of faith given by the Holy Spirit to certain believers on certain occasions. We all have a saving faith, which is common to all Christians, but this is something extraordinary, extraordinary faith that produces unshakable, mountain-moving confidence that God is going to act decisively in this situation, and it can be something almost impossible, but God gives you the faith to believe for it. Jesus, of course, walked in all these gifts, but he stood before the tomb of Lazarus. He had been dead 4 days. You think, well, Jesus didn't need faith like that. Yes, he does. He was in human form, and he didn't do anything until the Spirit came upon him. So the Holy Spirit's working through him and gave him supernatural faith for him to speak, Lazarus, come forth. Of course, he did. Paul, in Acts 27, was on a ship headed to Rome. The ship was in a violent multi-day storm. You might remember that. He received divine revelation from the Holy Spirit that everyone in the ship would survive. So in the midst of this extreme panic, Paul demonstrated the gift of faith and confidently declared to the crew that everyone would be saved. And that's exactly what happened. Next, number 4 on our list. There's 9 of them, by the way. Gift of healing. Of course, Jesus functioned in this gift all the time. Matthew 8, 5 to 13, he healed the centurion's servant from a distance, just speaking the word. Amazing. John 9, 1 to 7, Jesus restored the sight of a man who was born blind. In Luke 4, 38 to 40, Jesus stood over Peter's mother-in-law and rebuked the fever, and it left her. In Acts 9, 32 to 35, Peter encountered a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden and paralyzed for 8 years. Peter told him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Aeneas got up immediately, which led many in the region to turn to the Lord. This is the purpose for the gifts, to draw people to the Lord, for Jesus to receive glory. You know, the Holy Spirit has used me. It says in this that he gives different people different gifts, and not all people have all the gifts. It says that later in the chapter. But certain times, certain people function more in one gift than another, just the way he made the body. And this one gift of healing, God has worked through me on different occasions. And one was Scott and Judy's daughter, Heather. She was visiting at my house one evening with my daughter-in-law, and they were watching some chick flick on TV, and I brought some popcorn down for her. And then Heather mentioned about this TMJ she had in her jaw and how she had this pain. And so I said, well, this shouldn't be. So I prayed a simple prayer for her right there in Jesus' name and left. The next day, I got a call from Heather. She said when she was driving home, her jaw suddenly popped and all the pain was gone and she was fine. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Simple acts of obedience. And he'll pour his gifts through us to be a blessing to people. I had a girl named Danielle who was the leader of our Bible club. She was in 10th grade. She and her youth group did a scavenger hunt. I shared this before, but I think this is an amazing story. I said, oh, that's nice, scavenger hunt. She said, no, not that kind of scavenger hunt, Mr. Wise. Scavenger hunt as we ask God who he wants us to minister to, scavenger hunt. Oh, yes. And I was with a group of a couple of girls, and we were in Park City. And we were asking the Lord, who do you want us to find? And the Lord revealed to her this older woman who had a back issue. And she said, thank you, Lord. And so they were walking through Park City, scavenger hunt, looking for this woman. And there she was. They saw her coming. She understood and knew who she was. This is a 10th grade girl. She says, hi, my name's Danielle. Was the sweetest girl. Hi, my name's Danielle. What's your name? And talking with her. And then she said, you know, we were talking with Jesus earlier, and he wants your back to be healed. You know about my back? Yes. The Lord told us that you have a back problem. I do. And they prayed for her, and that woman was healed right there in Park City. I'm thinking, here I was, supposed to be the advisor for this girl, thinking, man, I have a lot to learn. That's amazing, right? Just simple obedience. God's willing to use whoever is available. This girl, she's an amazing girl. That's probably why I was club advisor, so I could learn from these kids. He has a sense of humor, too, the Lord does. Next is working in miracles is our fifth gift. Of course, Jesus, in John 6, multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed over 5,000 people. Talk about a miracle, right? Providing for their physical needs. Or how about Paul in Acts 20? He preached such a long sermon that some people fell asleep, and this one young man named Eutychus fell out of a second-story window and fell down on the pavement dead. Not a good result for your sermon. It's not good for publicity, right? So Paul goes down, embraces him, and his life is restored. A miracle. God wants miracles today, folks. I don't know how. I have not seen a miracle like that through me, but that gift is available at times for, and it's for you too. It's just not for chosen few. Or Peter and John healed that lame beggar by the gate who's crippled from birth. Man, I believe sometimes the gift work in tandem. I believe they have both the gift of faith and the gift of miracles or healing at the same time. And that guy that was lame from birth got up, and what did they say? 3,000 or 5,000 were added to the church that day because they saw that God is alive and well and working. That's what these things are about. Give evidence of the truth of what we share with our mouths to do the impossible. In Acts 8, 6, and 7, a deacon, Philip, who helped serve the widows. After the persecution, he went down to Samaria and preached to them there. And it says, many who were paralyzed and lame came out, and he cast out impure spirits. So all these healings were going on. People were being delivered. And it says, and there was great joy in that city because the gifts were functioning and flowing through him. I know once a miracle happened through Steve Snyder, who was up in Brooklyn. They would deliver these food boxes that we helped to pay for. And they had all these boxes up there, and they had frozen turkeys and everything you need for Thanksgiving. And they had unloaded the truck completely and given them all out. And a man came up later saying, I'm here to get a box. We need a box of food for my family. And Steve's like, hey, sorry, you missed it. They're all been given out. We don't have any left. The man's like, are you sure? He says, yeah, I'll show you the truck. And he opened up the back of the truck, and there was a box. Steve said, I know there was no box in there before. Now, what do you call that? It's like multiplying the loaves and the fishes, guys. I mean, this is the God we serve. He has not changed. He says, I change not. Man. Next, 6 is called prophecy. It's when the Holy Spirit gives you a message. It could be for an individual or for a group of people. It could address a current need or situation or something from the past or even sometimes a future thing coming up. It's a revelatory gift, revelation, message of insight given from the Holy Spirit through you to someone. And the purpose of these, to strengthen, encourage, and comfort, is what it says in the scriptures. Jesus ministered prophetically in a variety of ways. One time, he even foretold Peter's denial and his subsequent restoration, preparing him for what was coming. In Acts 11, 27 to 30, there was a prophet, Agabus, who stood up and prophesied that a severe famine was going to hit the Roman world, and the believers responded immediately and started getting offering together to support the churches in Judea. So they understood this, and he knew that this was going to happen, and they did that all. 1 Corinthians 14, 3, it says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You know, I went through, before we planted New Beginnings, I sensed the Lord saying, Mike, I want you to go to this church plant leadership school through Dove Christian Fellowship. It was a 2-year school. I would go all day Saturday and Monday nights, and then we had all these other things we did. And it was a great program. During the time I was there, there was a couple that was also being trained, and they were going to plant churches in Croatia. And one night as we were sitting there, and they prophesied over me. And they said that I would be ministering to and preaching to people from Eastern Europe. I'm like, okay. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians, do not despise prophecies, but test all things, hold fast to what is good. I figured these people were trying to be kind and trying to do it, but they might have missed it. That's where I left it. 5 years later, I had been asked to preach a New Year's Day message at the Russian congregation in Brookerville Grace Fellowship. In the middle of the sermon, as I'm preaching, I'm saying it, and then he would say it in Russian so the people that didn't understand English could understand it. And I was doing this. In the middle of all that, the Holy Spirit says, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy I gave you 5 years ago. And I'm like, and the guy's looking at me, what are you saying next? I was like caught off guard. I'm like, oh, goodness. That really encouraged my heart, though, that what God said actually came true. When I thought, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Discerning experience is number 7 on our list. This is a supernatural ability to recognize the true source behind a person's words or actions. Whether it's from the Holy Spirit, or it could just be a human effort of the flesh, or it could be something demonic behind it. This gift is so needed today. In John 1, 47, as Nathanael was coming near to Jesus, Jesus discerned, declaring, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And then he went on to tell Nathan that he saw him underneath the fig tree even before he met him. That was a word of knowledge. So here we are, discerning of spirits and a word of knowledge, bang, bang. Acts chapter 5, Peter was giving the gift of discernment of spirits as he confronted a couple in the early church. He discerned that Ananias and Sapphira had actively lied to the Holy Spirit by pretending to give the full price of their property when in fact they had not done so. And God judged them on the spot and they died. Wow. Paul also used the gift of discerning of spirits with Paul in Acts 13, 6 and 7. There's a man named Elymas who opposed the gospel. Paul looked directly at him and through discerning of spirits said to him, called him a tool of the devil, full of deceit, fraud, and an enemy of righteousness. Whoa. Paul discerned that right off through the Spirit. I had another Spirit-filled Bible club leader at Hemfield. His name was Zach. And we had this man come in to talk to the club one morning. And I thought his message was really confusing and hard to understand, and I didn't get anything out of it. And Zach simply discerned and said, that message was not for us. That was not from God, but from the flesh. And he had discerning of spirits, and I was like, but he understood. Lastly, there's two more. These two go together, 8 and 9. It's different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. A tongue is when a believer is supernaturally gifted by the Holy Spirit to speak in an unknown language or dialect which they didn't know naturally. It's not like someone that knows Spanish can speak Spanish. We're talking about some language they didn't know or learn. And they speak a message in that language they didn't know or learn. This is during a public time of worship that he's talking about using this gift. It's different than the prayer language that you can pray in your prayer closet to the Lord. Two different gifts, but similar in some ways. So this is someone in a meeting when we're together and has a word from God, but it's in another language. No one's going to understand it, right? So that's where the second of these gifts come in. It is the interpretation of the tongue. If it is from the Lord, he will give somebody else the interpretation of what it means so everybody can be encouraged that is there. And Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesy. So everybody can be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. So, modern day example of tongues and interpretation of tongues, I think, was exhibited in our dear friend and my spiritual mother, who's no longer with us, Fern Heise. How many people remember Fern Heise? Wonderful woman of God. Different times she would go to services, not at Chickie's, other services, and she was given a message in a tongue, and she spoke it out. Somebody else interpreted it then to encourage the group. There was times where she was in the service and somebody spoke in a tongue and she knew what it meant and she then interpreted it for the group so they could be encouraged by that message from God. It's that simple. It seems very strange to us, but that's what God's doing. It's like a prophecy, but in another language that needs to be interpreted. When New Beginnings was at the Brickerville Fire Company yet, where we were meeting there, one Sunday morning as we're worshiping there, during the praise portion of the service, a woman at the top of her lungs screams out a message in tongues. I mean, as loud as you can imagine. It startled us all. Some of you were there and remember that time, okay? Many, including myself, were startled. But no one had an interpretation. Paul says, without an interpretation, the church can't be edified, so the speaker should remain silent. I later spoke with this particular woman. I tried to gently explain to her that this is the case with the gift, and she said she got offended. She wasn't happy with me, but she said, I felt compelled to shout it out, and I couldn't control it. Well, that's just not so. The Spirit doesn't force us to do anything. We have to yield to him for these gifts to work. But we're learning in these things, and so we give grace to one another. And so back to my story. A week after all this transpired, another man who was also part of New Beginnings came up to me very sheepishly and said, Mike, the Holy Spirit gave me the interpretation. I was just too scared to say it. Which proves we're all fallible. We're all learning these things. It's not like any of us know these things completely and, man, I'm good with the gifts. Are you kidding me? We're all learning. We're all in God's school learning these things. So I thanked him for his honesty in sharing that. And the Holy Spirit doesn't get upset with us when we miss it. Sometimes you sense that you're supposed to do something, you sense it's him, and you step out and you do it. And maybe nothing. But then the next time, wow, it changes. And the person's blessed beyond what you can imagine because of it. So we need to take that step. It's scary, yeah, I agree. But he won't ever chastise us because we messed up. If we're truly seeking him and seeking to, yes, earnestly desire them and walk in them, yeah, there's going to be a learning curve with it. That's okay. It's okay. And he'll help grow us up and mature us in these things. Verse 11 reminds us that we don't get to pick and choose these gifts or the timing. It's the Spirit's prerogative. He distributes them as he wills. It has nothing to do with our will. It's as he wills. But again, we have free will. He will not force us to work with him in these things. We have to yield to him, surrender to him, and then he will. But I heard this quote, and I'm going to read it. I think it's true. He says, Andrew Womack, I believe that one of the greatest, biggest reasons the body of Christ hasn't made greater impact on our generation today is because of our failure to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, without a doubt, Jesus and the early church used these gifts like a bell, calling men to God, confirming God was truly the one speaking through them. That's true. I believe that. And if we want a greater impact in our community, at our work, wherever we're at, start desiring, start asking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let these gifts come through me. If you want to use me in these gifts, here I am. Send me. Come do it. Have your way with me. Be ready. Be ready. And then when those times come, just step out in faith. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Wow. The Lord will bear witness to the truth of the gospel through these gifts. That's what it's about. It's what it's about. Now, I want to just mention this because we don't have time to get into it all, but it talks about all the gifts, and then it talks about how the body has different parts, right? Not all the parts are ears, and we're not all eyes. We each have our part. And it goes on to say that all the parts are needed for the body, right? And then Paul goes on to say, do all of you, are all of you apostles, are all of you prophets, are all of you workers of miracles? Do all of you have gifts of healing? Do all of you speak in tongues? Do all of you interpret? The answer is no to all those things because we don't have all those. But there may be some of those that you do. We need you to be working in them because I don't have them. We need each other, folks. The church needs all of us working in these gifts because if you don't, that portion is missing then from the equation that God wants to happen. So, in conclusion, I encourage you to actually ask the Holy Spirit to manifest these gifts in and through you, offering yourself to him, yielding yourself, partnering with him. That's what he wants. He wants to partner with you. And then be sensitive to his still small voice and his promptings. And then step out in faith and obedience. Simply do what you're asked to do. Put yourself out there, and you'll be a great blessing to somebody, and you'll bring honor and glory to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. You're such an awesome God. Forgive us the times we limit you, Lord. We limit your spirit working in and through us if we ignore the gifts or hold off on the gifts, Lord. Help us to take a good hard look at ourselves and at our lives and relook over this gifts these weeks, this week, Lord. Help us to know that at any moment you want to work through any of us to be a blessing to someone. Help us to love people enough, Lord. Give us so much of your love, Lord Jesus, for others that we'd be compelled to want these gifts, to be able to minister to them with these gifts for your glory. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Thanks for your good heart and your great love. We pray it all in Jesus' name.